hear your duck. Sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, which can be a regular degular, which can be a tell-all reunion. But at the end of the day, hopefully mildly sweet. And I'll tell you what today is, honey. I'll tell you what it is. Top of the show. 90 Day, the single live. This is the season 4 tell-all part 1. And listen, it feels like a crazy, like, parallel universe, like paradox, like, you know, like blip, where I'm like, we're just coming hot off of obviously the tell-alls for season 10, and now we have this, and so it feels like we just live in a tell-all world. And I will tell you at the tell-all already, Sean, we have a different Sean Robinson. Like, the way that Sean Robinson is in this tell-all with these like people and these like gang of like friends of hers, and specifically Chantel, I'm like, do they kiki every night? And who, I mean, they are close, you know, like it feels so wildly different, except for the opening shot, which feels the exact same, which is New York City graphic on top of like bustling skyline. And then they're obviously always filming in the exact same place. And so we're giving the exact same B footage of like barren, almost looks like Warehouse Brooklyn maybe, or like Meatpacking District, you know, like it's like that kind of like vibe. It's like the blown out windows, kind of like big, you know, like SUV, black SUV comes, parks in a wet alley, you know, like it's a wet, always wet, you know, like the people like step out and they're like, they have their traveling clothes and then they're going to have their like tell-all clothes. So that's,
yeah. I found that the traveling clothes on this episode were pretty fancy. Yeah, I mean, Tim and Veronica with their hopefully faux minks,
mob wife and husband, honey. That's what that was.
Yeah. Also, then we've got Debbie, Miss Debbie. She came in with her silver outfit on, and then it was really interesting. Like, Natalie had her long ass extensions and, you know, she's always so happy hat. And bouncy and yeah, with that hat to walk.
She did a good job. She, you know, I'll tell you that Natalie did a good job. She kind of gave like downtown owl girl, you know, with that hat and like all black, like she will toggle between different aesthetics. And so I will give her that. She looked good. And you know who also looked good, who had good traveling clothes, and I have to give this person as well, is Johnny. Johnny came like in like mm-hmm. a cream or white, like two piece mm-hmm. suit. It looked real fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a two-piece like sweatsuit on with like a beanie yeah. with a little nipple on top. Yeah, he looked great.
Looked like he does, you know what, maybe because this tell all, I will tell you that Johnny feels and acts and looks different, and I can't tell you if it's because he radiates energy in on the East Coast more, or that he is so much better as like a talking head personality, wise guy, secondary character than someone who we actually have to be like, this person makes these choices that we have to either get behind and or care about. They're horrible choices.
Yeah, he's not main character energy.
Not at all.
He is in his pocket as the side character. He is the supplementary character. He is the neighbor. He is no. He's that neighbor from the other show where it looks over the hedge. He is that. Yeah, mm-hmm. He is that guy. He is Quagmire.
He's Edie McClurg in the robot one. Remember, like, Edie McClurg is the red-haired 80s in sitcom lore. She was also, like, in the Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, but, like, she's a groundling. And, yeah, she played the crazy red-haired. No. You know her.
Yeah. No. You don't know what that's from?
Oh, I didn't realize it was her. I thought that was Urkel when you did it.
Oh, no. Urkel is, did I do that?
I know, but the sound of the voice was so similar in like this kind of like high pitched nasal.
No. Is the neighbor from Vicky or
that is what I was saying.
No, that is what I said. I wish you
I know, but now I realize I said the bad thing, but you had already said it, but we had said the same thing and I didn't realize it because I thought that was Urkel. My God.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wow.
Yeah. She's She's also the like chicken, the neighbor from Al Bundy show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that. So we just finished naming all of the like 80s, you know, sidekick, 90s sitcom sidekicks. So you're welcome. I mean, that's what Urkel was supposed to be, but then he ended up just stealing the show. It's like he was supposed to be the weird neighbor. And then he just like the whole sitcom is the weird neighbor constantly going to the neighbor's home and just everything taking place in that neighbor's home. That is the really one of the only sitcoms that kind of happens. I mean, Waldo kind of comes in and does a little bit too when they go to Kenyatta. But anyways, I'm just telling myself. Okay. So entrances are good. The cast is immediately talking shit about everyone. They're like, where's this person? I guess they're this. Oh, Tim. Tim comes in and he's like, Tyree's like, oh, I like your outfit. And Tim is just never matching. That's my problem with Tim. It's I don't care with the way that he dresses, but there's no style. There's nothing that puts together. It's like he has on this dark top, this like silk inspired, like dragon, like bomber jacket. And then, or like jersey jacket. Then he's got on a black shirt underneath. That's fine. Then he's got on some like light gray pants. And I'm like, okay. And if the shoes were white, I'd be like, all right. But of course the shoes are not white. The shoes are just goes to the left. They are blue, like a royal blue with all manner of studs all over them. I could just see like somebody working at one of those weird like retailers, just seeing him coming from a mile away being like, oh, he's going to come in here and just spend $8,000 on all of our kitschy, ugly, studded silver nonsense. So anyways,
I totally agree. He's the pickup artist. He just like, yeah, his aesthetic to me is pickup artist, you know, which is horrible. These blue shoes are bad. You know, like everyone gives Tim a thing where they're like, Tim, you are very like stuck up. Like you look like you're just you're like nose up at people. And he's like, I'm a resting bitch face. And yeah. I want to be like, it's so funny because I see him kind of there. It's so funny. It's like, if I was to be honest, it's more of like a really bitchy Percocet face. Like his face to me is kind of just like overly bitchy or I mean, pilled out. I mean, like the way his eyes are, the way he like talks, it's just the drawl that he has. It's, I mean, I don't know. I cannot imagine being in a room with him and then thinking, this person thinks they're better than me and have that affect me where either I care or true. Like it's hard to say this. This is going to sound bad. It's hard for me to think that people that look crazy and act crazy would truly think they're better than me, especially when I'm on top of my shit and I look great. Like for Tim to look at me down, I'd just be like, buddy, come on. In my mind, I'd be like, if I felt that way, I'd be like, not even real though. I wouldn't, I mean, you, because he grosses me out, you know, like for this whole Lucha situation, we'll get into it. Like, and we've talked about it, like there's not a chance in hell. It doesn't affect me because it's just not the situation, but let's talk about it. So, they're going to go in for Tyree. Now, Johnny is going to live his best life trying to be like, oh, Tyree. So you still had never had sex. Let me tell you, you think it's going to be all roses and when you do it, you're going to be 4 hours, honey. Couple pumps and you're done. Pumps and you're done. I mean, the first time you hit the honey. Oh. That sweet pot of honey. Oh, the first time you hit the honey, you little bee. And you get that honey in your face. What are you, Winnie the Pooh? Oh, they all come and swim around you. All the bees and you have your honey pie. You're so drunk on the honey. Oh, is it long edit? You saw that. You didn't see that part?
Yeah. No. I'm sorry. That you're right. I forgot that happened. That was such a great, impression of it. Yeah, that's exactly what went down. But I didn't like the way they were all like talking shit about Chantel. And I'm like, you guys,
her whore trip to Greece.
I'm like, you guys, Chantel is the only one of all of you who have their own spinoff from this show. She is a fucking star. So if you guys are feeling some way because she's not sitting with you in this moment, they're like, I've heard she had her whole makeup crew. Yeah.
You heard she's right.
A fucking star. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. And then it's like, Miss Debbie's like, I came here in my red because I'm going to be like fire. And she did really just come out for fire. I mean, she was really hung up on Chantel not wearing any panties situation.
Your kids, what are you gonna do with your kids? What would Julian say if I went to Miami with my labias out? What would Julian say?
Like, you it know, was
just like, this is too much. Do not come for Chantel this much. I will make fun of Chantel the lived long day, but you will not. So they finally get all on stage. Sean Rodman comes out with some beautiful, like, pleated velvet, like, situation. It looks great on her. She says hello to everybody. And you're right. She is like, Chantel, girl. Hey, girl. Hey. it's been a long time. And she's like, I'm sick of all you guys. I'm sick of you.
I had never seen such warmth and, like, familiarity with a cast member my whole life. I had never known Sean. I've never known Sean to literally, I know, sorry. I've never known Sean to even recognize someone on stage with her. Maybe Angela, maybe, because she's so loud. Hi, Angela. But, like, sometimes she'll be like, I don't think she knows who Rob is.
I was like, who's Rob? You're right. You're right.
Rob's fault. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so Veronica looks like she's trying to get 40 Starlet. And at first, the dress looks short. And then when she gets up to walk away in her huff, I thought it was a really cute dress. Listen, I'm here for the way that they... I love the way she dresses. I think it's so cute. Wow, okay. Guess you don't. Great, good to know. So then Natalie shows up in a dress that looks terrible on her. It's just something with the way it sits in her boobs. Yes. It just looks bad. It looks like a pageant dress from, like, 1997.
Yes. Yes. I literally was like, girl, literally go back and get that aloe outfit you came in. Put the hat back on, put everything. Put the tights back on, put everything. You know, listen, besides Chantel, who came with her whole glam team, and we know that this glam team is not the same glam team that she used to grease. We can tell that in the look, by the way, when we get to how her mom looks, whole different thing. It's crazy. This is a different team, honey. This is a different professional team.
Yeah. Okay,
this is a professional team. This is a different team, professional. But Natalie.
She looks great.
Yeah, no. Natalie, it is hard when you pick an outfit to be on TV, because the primary things you have to think about are, first and foremost, what are you doing? Are you sitting? Are you standing? If you're sitting in something or you're standing in something, that's the first and foremost thing. Second thing is color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The color of it against your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into, like, fit. And it has to look good. Those are the three things. It does not, like, but people want to be like, it's trendy. It's this. It's hot. It's sexy. It's like something, but it's like, this thing is not looking good the way she's sitting. It's because, I don't know, when you sit, your body just does certain things when you sit. Like, you know, it does certain things when you stand, you know. It's hard to sit in a skirt. You know, there's so many things to think about. Like, if she was, like, sitting with a short skirt, you'd have to think about that, have to cross your legs the entire time. And people do, especially on these, like, tell-alls. But yeah, it was an awkward choice. Quick updates. They go around. Chantel and Giannis are still together.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal and Veronica, honey, broke up. And they broke up in a text. He gave her a deuces.
Mm-hmm. Which he doesn't remember.
How come it didn't happen for me?
Do it again. Because... Put it closer.
If you're on the podcast, you don't know. We just
put it closer to the camera.
These moments from God where we do different hand
gestures.
Keep
telling her to put it closer to the camera and she won't.
There, it's my skin color. That's why.
Okay, that was a good
one. It won't
do
it because it's my
skin. It's my skin color. That's why. Oh, there it goes.
Anyway, so basically, as I said, Chantel and Giannis are still together. Jamal and Veronica, Ruben and Debbie, they still talk, but Debbie
has found out some things around Ruben that she wants to talk about.
That's what's happening with there. Tyrae still talks to Rana or Rania, but we're like
2 weeks ago, so no, they don't talk. Know. Natalie is trying to figure it out with Josh, and he has asked her for another chance. Yes. Hey, ask me for another chance. Girl.
I know it. Is it Tyrae the one that, it, like, calls it out in this really specific, beautiful way where maybe, like, later he's like, she just wants men to like fight over her. This is like ancient Rome. And she just wants to be like, it is me, Rapunzel Ninditara, with my blonde, very natural hair. Very natural blonde hair. You know me, Natalie. Look at these eyes. I'm in the tower and my men, they fight over me. And I like put a white napkin and it falls from the tower. And whoever is the man that loved me the most. You know, like, it's like, it's that kind of idealistic. This is what's remarkable about it, because for all intents and purposes, she has gotten enough of that validation that she still expects it at this age. Because I will tell you that one Christine Farah probably thought this was going to happen to her at age 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 22, maybe 23. It's been not happening in 23, never going to happen 24. And then from now until this, I have realized that's not my life. But she hasn't, which makes me feel like at some point, it's in fact happened for her.
Yeah.
So that is, I thought it's true. So basically we start with Veronica and Jamal. Then we bring out Louisa, honey. Louisa, before we bring out Louisa though, Louisa and Jamal are
conspiring. Backstage,
and she's like, I am so nervous. And he's like, I'm going to be there for you. She looks gorgeous. I mean, it's like a white and gold dress. I mean, it's by far my favorite dress of the night. And we obviously realize, and whether they said it or not, that like, yeah, Louisa and Tim are not together and Louisa is hot about it, like pissed. So, but yeah, she needs Jamal's emotional support. And then we kind of like bring them out. They show their first fight where Jamal basically was like, you're a bitch and you like didn't raise her daughter very well or good or whatever. And like they stand, and then Tim stands up. He's like, one thing you're not going to do is blow buddy blue stand up in my face or whatever. And then Jamal's like, I'll be honest, it was a little bit of tequila hit that night. And then what starts to happen is this Tim and Veronica being what we know them to be, which is like weird best friends, like, you know, close, being called out by Jamal and Louisa. Because saying that is fake, that they are not that close, that they talk shit about each other all the time. And then like now they're just showing this, which would make sense because Jamal saying that Tim was not a good father made us think that Veronica had like told him the TDT, you know, that we just had not heard from her mouth. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But like, who cares? That's the thing. Oh. Like Louisa and Jamal coming out to like let the world know, the 90 Day Fiancé franchise know that Tim and Veronica talk shit about each other. Okay. Who cares? I don't understand. Is it that you think that they have some kind of empire based on their best friend relationship? Like, and if she told you some things about like how she felt like Tim wasn't all that and all there or whatever, okay, that's something she told you, her partner. What she's saying to everyone in America is that Tim helped her raise her daughter. So like, why do we need to have that whistle blown? Or who is invested in Tim and Veronica enough to where that information being given is like, we've been lied to this whole time? You know, it would be like, this isn't, I don't know. Did you care?
No, I only cared about how gorgeous she looked in her dress, you know, and I liked when they fight in Spanish and then like, you know, she does get up. As you said, you liked Veronica's dress and she's like, Mira, you are dead to me.
Mira. Yeah. And then Jamal gets mad that they're speaking in Spanish. I don't like that either too. Like, oh, what are they saying? I don't know what they're saying. I'm like, then learn fucking Spanish. You live in fucking San Diego. You're from San Diego, as far as I know, which is like literally the border. It's so close to the border. Like, and it's not like she said something about lying. Like, she's like, if you're going to lie, then, you know, do whatever. And maybe Veronica was blackout drunk and doesn't remember talking shit about Tim. But they're sitting there next to each other, not letting that wind of hate just like blow right over them. And I don't know what Louisa and Jamal thought they were doing, because it wasn't working.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because it's like in your mind, you're like, I literally was like, is the thing now that they're dating? Because I didn't know why they were on there. Like,
Then they wanted to whistleblow. Like, oh my God, you guys, just so you know, these two people who've been acting like they're friends are not. They both talk shit about each other. And it's like, okay, but it's like, it's, you know what it's like? It's like high school when you had frenemies, right? And people then, like, those two people have known each other from kindergarten. And they, their parents know each other. So, and their parents are good friends, but they don't really like each other because one of them has done something shitty to the other. And so they've kind of grown estranged, but there are still circumstances that cause them to spend some weekends together or maybe a holiday together because their parents are friends. There's something that connects them. So yeah, maybe they do go to school and they do talk shit about each other on occasion because they're frustrated or because of whatever, right? But those two still have a fucking friendship that you, the newcomer, do not have with them. And so for you to now start telling everybody, well, they're not really friends, like they really fight, those two are just going to come together and be like, fuck you. Who cares if I was talking shit about my friend? That's what I mean. You come in and start like trying to bring us apart. It just felt very playground high school, the hallways of high school shit. And I don't know what the purpose was for Louisa and Jamal to come out and say that those two aren't really friends and that they're being fake.
You're not wrong. Literally, it's a weird situation because Sean's like, well, we're going to get rid of you guys now, but you guys will come back later for Tim's segment. I was like,
no, okay. No. Tim doesn't have a segment. Tim is not on this show. Who's it's Veronica.
Okay, so then we go back to Diarrhea and his virginity. And then, you know, Johnny's like, look, you know, but this is the thing. You can't take rejection personally. You know, you're going to be someone's type. You're not going to be someone's type. But I'll tell you, you need to have a little bit, because a little bit it never hurt nobody. And Natalie's like, no, he is clean person. You know, no, don't worry. I like it. You know, like she's trying so hard to be like, this is like her orthodoxy coming out, you know?
John is like, well, Natalie, would you want to have to teach a guy or you want a guy that already knows? She's like, I want to be with man I love. Like they're really building up, like the women, Debbie and Natalie are building a wall around Tyrae and they do not want the funk and stank of John. And surprise guess, Sarper.
What'd you do?
I was like, Sarper. I was so excited for Sarper. I mean, now, like, really, I've missed him.
He's minute crazy. They said bad boy that slept with 2,500 women.
I had no idea. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I forgot that that was part of his MO.
We weren't going to be like, oh, it's Clayton of Clayton and Citra.
I didn't know who it
Clayton
was.
And Citra, you know, Clayton and Annalie, you know.
I didn't know who it was. I was shocked. But when it came to Sarper and he gave just the worst advice, like I call it tiger move. You put her back to bathroom and then you go to bathroom in middle of dinner. Then when you come out, you kiss on neck. And that's how you tiger.
Her back is to the bathroom. Okay, so she's just like, oh, God, this guy's went to the bathroom. I can finally text my person and be like, oh, my God, I'm with this crazy guy. He's bananas. And he keeps telling me what to eat. But whatever, like, hopefully a little protein never helped me, never hurt me. But at the same time, I think he's wearing contacts. Maybe, like, some gray, like, stuff in his hair. Like, it's kind of coming up. I'll tell you later what happens anyway, so. Just like, scared the shit out of me. You know, you're just like, Sarper though then goes on to say, so he says, I'll be honest, that part's crazy, but Sarper does say the two things that are of interest. He says, A, basically, obviously, you need to have a little more self-confidence. You need to work on your confidence, your security. Like, you know, like you got to be like confident there. And the other thing is, hey, babe, don't know if you noticed, you just like sometimes like have this like weird like tell laugh, this like little giggly laugh, this little like hee hee hoo hoo hoo, like I don't know if you like check it or whatever. If you could just like roll it back 10 notches, I think it'll do you a service.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm an absolute asshole, and I don't mean for this, but he said giggly and I heard jiggly, and I said, is he telling this man to lose weight? Yeah, that's what happened for a second. And then it didn't happen. And I was like, thank God. And then like, he's like, hey, yeah. And then Tim is like, it's just a nervous laugh. Like, it's fine. And Sarper's like, it's not fine. And we're all like, it's not fine.
First of all, Tyrae is not a woman. So since Tyrae's not a woman, Sarper would definitely not have said jiggly. That only matters for Tuss. If you are a woman, honey, and you have an extra 5 pounds, of course that's why you're a virgin. No man will ever touch you. You know, like, could you imagine? Like, you know, this is so horrible to say, but like, yeah. Sarper does give him, I mean, in Sarper's way, the most delicate of handling of like, Sarper is on his best behavior this entire time. Of course he gives that information. And then like, okay, even when he thinks this thing up, Debbie loses her goddamn mind, of course, whatever.
She's and like, he doesn't take any port in a storm.
Starper's like, how do I say this, Debbie? You are so old. I would not want to fuck you. And no one wants to fuck you. Honestly, he doesn't want to fuck you, this Tyrae. So why would he take this? Go back to Tyrae.
Advice from you.
Yeah, nothing. And then he's like, you know what, Tyrae? I'm going to just come a little closer. I got the thing. Hey, Johnny.
He's like, you are my someone. Elder. You are my elder. Shut up.
Yeah. And then he just is like, he says all that. And then he just like gives it to him. He's like, you know what you gotta do? You actually gotta fuck. And if it just means you hire someone to fuck. And Johnny's like, yeah, you do. That's what I've been saying. You hire someone. You know, you're just like, Sarper, like, there's a whole other world where Sarper and Johnny like have like a little like vacation something like that. And like the panties, I guess, drop. Like, Johnny could you imagine poor Texas Amy if Sarper went on Johnny's like bachelor party? Phil Matt.
You guys, it would be, he would have him up to all manner of shenanigans. But the truth is, they are right. He should get a professional so that it's just easy, that he can have like his 5-minute session where he just comes immediately. Like, he can do all that embarrassing shit with a professional who isn't going to.
Yeah. Can you think he's come with someone? You know, I know he hasn't had sex. I don't think so either. And I think there's even ways to work that up. Like, there are beautiful sex work professionals that aren't like that you work with, like psychologists, you know, like where maybe you cuddle, like you like talk, you build a little bond, you cuddle one second.
Yes.
Maybe this person, maybe you masturbate in front of this person. You feel open and comfortable. This person watches you do it, your body. You feel, oh God, this is, you know, like there are steps to this, which if you're a dude, maybe you're just like, for Johnny's like, just get it done. Just go to the, you know, some girl you do not care about pump and dumper, you know?
No, like, not that. But like to have Tyrae would need like an experience. Kind of,
yeah, he needs to be taken from one place to another, like along the way on this journey, like by a sexual professional woman who will be like, come, here's some candles. Almost like a, you know, like I can see witchy, like candles doing, there's crystals, you know, but like she's naked, you know, and so he's just like open with the idea of nudity. Nothing is bad, you know, it's obviously sexual positivity to an nth degree that makes him feel no shame, makes him feel comfortable, makes him feel like this is the, you know, part of humanity that shouldn't be locked up from fear or trepidation or just because it hasn't happened yet. You know, like there's a place to really react out of this out of love. But I mean, that takes a certain amount of sensitivity that like Sarper, my God, and definitely Johnny are not going to have, you know?
Yep. You're absolutely right. All right. Yeah. Now we move on to the Chantel and like what's been going on with her. We talk about Chantel and starting to date people and the folks in her DMs, and she mentions Waka Flocka. And I was like, I don't know what that person looks like, and like, who cares? Does he not? He must have a million children. Does he? I don't know.
I don't know for sure, but I remember the day that the news dropped that it was Drake. So when she didn't open with Drake, I was like, yes.
But then she's like, they were like, then Tim's like, Sean. I heard Drake. And then,
oh, I thought, Sean.
Someone said it. I heard Drake. And she's like, well, I'd rather not. And I'm like, why? Why can't you just say no?
NDA?
But also she could say no.
She doesn't want to say no. She doesn't want to say no.
Oh my God.
Oh, she wants to say yes.
And then Miss Karen.
There's no better yes than no comment. I think there's no better yes. Or slight smirk. Here, ask me.
Hey, Chantel, have you, or Chris, have you been hung out with Drake?
No comment.
No, that's stupid. No comment is not a comment. So first of all, so the answer is yes. Great. Everyone, yes, she has.
This is the exact same conversation we had about your group text with your parents at Easter.
You're trying to explain this to me, and you're telling me that I'm being passive aggressive, and I'm like, I'm being as straightforward as possible, because all I'm asking is that if there are anything that I need to know now. If the answer is no, then it's no.
She told you two things. Okay.
No, I get you. I get you. She told me two things, but didn't say it directly. And I'm asking for a direct thing. The understanding that I'm supposed to read in between the lines is unfair to me. Like, it's unfair. I don't want to have to read in between the lines. I just want you to say, like, no, there are no concrete plans, but these are the things that are, you know, great. No, there are no concrete plans. That's it. But this is what may happen.
Okay. So anyway, so let me tell you. So Tim comments on Debbie and Chantel's mom wants to go. So basically, they go in on Chantel. Debbie had already gone in on Chantel for like not wearing panties and broadcasting that. But then Tim does too, where he's kind of like, you don't have to like use your body. You know, you have a beautiful face. And so this makes me feel like, okay, let me say this. Chantel's outfits in Greece did not radiate slutty or whorish. They radiated, I want to look sexy and I'm trying to look sexy, for sure. They did, you know, but so is every Jasmine and everyone. So it's like, you can't, Natalie, everyone, like, so you do not sit here and like give the fact that they kind of like made her feel like she had over-sexualized herself in such a way, it was like super icky. It was grotesque. Like,
it was very old fashioned. And like, it was like, but you don't want people to think that. No, she's a grown ass woman. There's no reason that anyone should think anything other than she just chose to not wear panties because she didn't want a panty line. Like, you can choose to not wear panties. That is your right as a human being to choose that. And so for you to make it seem like that was something untoward and kind of like unladylike, is crazy. It's like, it's very stupid and antiquated. Like, I get where Debbie's coming from, but it's unnecessary because Chantel has a whole mother. And guess what? That mother's waiting in the wings to be like, leave my daughter alone. We don't need your advice. She's a grown woman who's already been married. If she would like to go to Greece and take her panties off, she can go to motherfucking Greece and take her motherfucking panties off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so, I mean, honestly, they should be bounding over. Debbie and Chantel should be like, you know who we like? Let's go to... Just go travel together and like, you know, like have sex with men. Like, that's what they want to do together. That's what they have in common together. My God, does Chantel's mom, does she look
great?
That was like, that's like, she looks like she's about to be one of the judges on RuPaul's Drag Race for the amount of, not that she looks like drag, like a drag star. No, she looks like the best makeup that is doing the highest glam did her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's giving
everything. And the wig is right.
The rig is like, very right.
Yes.
The wig is very right.
Yeah. And the pantsuit looks great. This is the first time she didn't come out in like a billowy top and like whatever pants. Like, she, yeah, just great.
Yeah. They got their own glam team for this in New York. But as much as we love these people, we've definitely seen them with glam teams in other places, not as great. So, you know, whether they just like, we're like, get us the best. We'll pay the extra $5,000 or whatever. Like, maybe that's what it is. And I think that they did, you know, they have the money for it. And why not? But yeah, so that brings us to the end of the tell part one, except that Chantel's mom is hot to come out. She can't wait to come out and give all these assholes a piece of her mind.
And I support it. I support it. But let me tell you, if you want a piece of our mind and also a piece of our face, you can join us on patreon.com/docusweeties. It's $10 a month. You get to see the visuals of what you're listening to right now, as well as a live every first Monday of the month, which would be April 1st. So is it going to happen or is it not going to happen?
Happy Fool's Day.
And you also get Love is Blind. We are doing that exclusively on Patreon. So if you would like content.
Why not going to happen? Why wouldn't it happen?
Because April Fool's Day, you do tricks.
Oh, I see.
If you would like to, you know, patreon.com/docusweeties. If you don't have the way to do that, Chris will tell you the other options.
Oh yes, you can go to our social media. So you can go to @docusweeties on Instagram and see that we are blowing the F up, guys. Hi. We have totally like random viral moments happening on two social media platforms. I'm not even joking. And I'm about to like post another one. We'll see what happens. Look at our Love is Blind roundup. I mean, literally everyone else on the internet is. So that's @docusweeties on Instagram. And many of you open TikTok, we're not even joking here, and go to our page at DocuSweeties, you will see that our it's our Gino Jasmine talking about his bachelorette party little TikTok video, honey, that Caitlin made us, is taking over, is breaking the internet, as they say. Doing, breaking the internet, okay? It's broken.
All the things.
Sorry, Jeff Bezos. So anyway, so that's what's happening there. We also have a private Facebook group, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group. And other than that, thank you so much. Give us 5 stars. We appreciate you. We have some fun collabs happening in the works. And other than that, you know, yeah, we love it. But yeah, come over to Patreon, because then you can see Wahima's like henna and my fake eyelashes.
I mean, they don't even look fake. Don't even say that. You don't even need to say that, because it looks so natural and great. All right, you guys, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.